You're going here this morning. We want to welcome everybody that's watching online this morning. Welcome them to our Sunday morning Bible study. It's good to be in the Lord's house with you. Keith?
Keep Debbie in prayers. She's having surgery Wednesday.
Okay. I'll keep Debbie in my prayers. She's having surgery Wednesday. Well, he's close. You were close. And if they cut on you, it is surgery. Yep. Somebody got to. We guys got to stick together, don't we, brother? All right. Get all our nonsense out of the way, and we'll get started this morning. We're in 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter. I won't be teaching this evening. This evening we'll be having our Lord's Supper. And hopefully all of you will be here for that. Looking forward to it. And I know Brother Nate is. And so we'll be observing the Lord's Supper this evening here in the auditorium with everybody else. And that'll be good. Look forward to that myself. So that will be this evening. 1 Peter is a... Before I begin, let's have prayer for Jana Jeffords in St. Louis. She's having a blockage in her colon, and we want to pray that this procedure they're getting ready to do works so that she doesn't have to have surgery. Okay? She's in St. Louis now. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus, and we lift up Jana Jeffords to you, Lord. She's there in St. Louis in the hospital, and we pray that this procedure they're doing this morning will cause her colon to unblock, and Lord, everything to work all right. We pray that she might not have to have surgery. We pray, Lord, that this might work to relieve her pain and her problem. That you'd be with her and Chuck and watch over them, as well as each of our church family that's on our prayer list, Lord, and those that are suffering and hurting. We thank you for Jesus, the life we have in him, for the good things you give us each day, and for the reality that we serve a risen Savior that we will spend eternity with throughout the ages of the ages. We ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. This book of 1 Peter is a great, great book to study through. We started last Sunday morning, what I'm giving you is some points that we see all through the book. This is like an overview of different things that we find in 1 Peter, and 8 things that each of us need to be mindful of as we walk in this world, we live out our Christian life, and that help us as we walk through this life to be like Christ. And it's difficult. We're the frailty of human beings. And we're called to live like Christ. And God has given us, the Bible says, everything we need for life and godliness. And so what can we do as a believer? How can I help myself? That's what I'm looking at. How can I help myself to be the Christian that Christ saved me to be? And it's we live in a difficult world and a difficult time. And it's a struggle. And so God knows that. But we find encouraging things here in the book of 1 Peter. The first point that I gave you, if you were taking notes on that, or the first point was, remember who you belong to. Remember who owns you. And that's what we find here in the scriptures in 1 Peter. I'll just go through it real quick. Chapter 1, verse 18 through 21. He says, "For you know, verse 18, that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were purchased or redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. So we were purchased, we were redeemed, we were bought out of slavery of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so the first thing that we said was remember who we belong to, remember who owns us. The second thing that we said last Sunday morning was renew your commitment to obedience. Renew your commitment to obedience. And this is something that I have to remind myself always, because it is a struggle to be obedient to Christ in what we already know, much less the things we're still learning. But what we already know as a believer and a child of God is always a struggle, because the flesh, the world, and Satan is always a hindrance to us in carrying out the commands and the obeys, because we're still, whether we like it or not, we're still in the flesh, we're still in this body that's yet to be redeemed until it is fully redeemed in a glorified form one day. So that was the second thing that we looked at, is our renewing our commitment, and salvation is a commitment. It's not just, well, you know, I read the Bible, I believe Jesus who he said he is. No, it's a commitment to Christ. And one scripture that we looked at was in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, where it says, if you confess Jesus is Lord. And that's not, well, you know, I believe he's who he says he is. It is that confess he is your Lord. Confess he is Lord of your life. And so it is an agreement then with God concerning his son Jesus Christ, that I have not only accepted him as my Savior, but I've accepted him as Lord of my life. And that goes along with the first one, which is remembering who you belong to. And so these are things that we can remind ourselves that helps us as we go through our Christian walk in the Lord. The third thing that we mentioned last Sunday morning, and I didn't get through altogether, was to remain faithful to our biblical convictions. Remain faithful to our biblical convictions. As we study the Word, and let me give you a couple of scriptures there. Chapter 1, verse 13, in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Look at verse 14. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. When you lived in ignorance. So the Bible tells us that we are to prepare our minds. And that's, for me, maybe you're better at this than I am, but for me, that's on a daily basis. I have to prepare my mind. I have to think about, as I go through that day, I have to intentionally think about who I am in Christ. I have to intentionally think about the goodness of God. I have to intentionally think about what my challenges are going to be that day. You get up, you feel bad, you get up, you've got a busy day, whatever that it is that you're going through, whatever that it is. And one thing that I think an individual develops as they get older is appreciation, greater appreciation of the small things in life that God gives you. I think those things grow more precious to you and grow greater as you grow older in Christ. And I think that's part of me preparing my mind, is to be cognizant of those things in my life. it's kind of humorous. Brother Nate, of course, he's a young man, 35 years old. Well, he's in with us on Tuesday morning at Chick-fil-A. Well, he's learning the majority of our conversations is about our ache pains, our medicine, and our movements. So he has fallen into a whole new culture when it comes to that. And so, bless his heart, I don't know if we are preparing him, warning him, or trying to guide him, or scaring him, But anyway, the Bible says to prepare our minds. You see, what we learn as a disciple of Christ, as we grow in Christ, becomes a belief. And after it becomes a belief, it becomes a conviction. It's something that we nail down, that we know, this I know to be absolutely true. And so this, when it becomes a conviction, it does what? It controls the way you live your life. It controls the way you live your life. I'm convicted in my very mind, heart, and soul that I should not do this. So I don't do this. I'm convicted in my heart, mind, and soul by the Word of God that this is something I should be doing. So I do this. So your convictions control your actions. That's why he said up here, prepare your minds for action, because your convictions ultimately control your actions in your life. And that's really important as a Christian. And so that's a third thing that we looked at, remaining faithful to our biblical convictions. And I'm not going to have you turn there. I'm just going to tell you what it says, okay? Because if I don't, I won't get through this morning. Well, Moses is getting ready to turn over his leadership role to Joshua in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, coming to the end of the book of Deuteronomy. And this is what he says to Joshua. And Joshua listened. I know he did, because when you read the book of Joshua, it's the first thing he says in the book and the last thing he says in the book. And this is what he says. He said, be very strong and courageous. Be very strong and courageous. Well, why would he tell him that? He would tell him that because he knows to lead the life that God has called you to, you're going to have to be strong and courageous. You're going to have to be strong and courageous. There will be people that will not accept you because of what you believe, because of the life you live, because of your convictions. There'll be people that disagree with you totally about what you believe, what your convictions are, and how you live your life. And that's just a fact, because that's the world we live in today. So that's where you have to be strong. And you have to be courageous to be able to say, this is what I know and believe to be true. And know that and share that from your own heart in a very way with humility and courage both, so that they know that this is something that has changed your life and something that you have found to be absolutely true beyond a shadow of a doubt in your own life and in the Word of God. And so that's the third thing that we looked at there. Now the fourth thing that we didn't get to is this, that I see that all sin is a violation of my relationship with Christ. I see that all sin is a violation of my relationship with Christ. Now, that's important because it's not just, oh, sin is bad. We know that. But that's not explanation enough. If I am married to Kay Russell, if I do something to harm my relationship with her, I have violated our relationship. Same thing is true with Christ. I'm part of Christ's family. Now, let me give you scripture on that. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, which we just were at. Now, what does it say? Chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient what? Oh, that's a relationship. You have a relationship with God. You are His child. He is your father. So you have a relationship. So I view sin then as a violation of that relationship I have with God as His child. If you've had children and you've raised kids, sometimes they what? They violate the relationship you have with them. And when they violate the relationship that you have with them, what does it do? It hurts. It hurts. And so viewing sin not only as something that's just bad, but viewing sin as something that violates my relationship with my Father in heaven, to whom I am a child, then I see it more seriously as I would if I just said, oh, you know, if I sin, that's wrong. It's more than wrong. It is a violation of my relationship with my Father because I am His child. Just the same as you and your children. You and your children. And so that is something else that helps us as we view it as that. Also, there's another scripture in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 3 and verse 10 that goes along with that. Chapter 3 and verse 10. Oh, I see it now. I couldn't find the 10. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. It's when we talk about relationship, the best way we can understand our relationship with our Heavenly Father is to understand a relationship between a child and his earthly father. When it says his face is set against those who do evil, when I would do something that I knew I shouldn't have done, my mom would say this, but not in these words. She would say, when your dad gets home, he's going to beat you within an inch of your life. That's the same thing as saying his face is going to be set against you. His face is going to be set against you. And so when we view our sin, we need to understand that God disciplines those He loves. God disciplines those He loves. And so his face would be set against me. So we see it's a violation of my relationship with my Father, and there it is also He disciplines those He loves. And so this is something that will help us as well. All right, now this is a big one here. Number 5. number 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. What is a mark of obeying the truth? What does he say is a mark of obeying the truth? Pure love. That's right. You have a love for God and a love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. A love for God and a love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. So that's my fifth point. Have a life that is marked by love. Have a life that is marked by love. And this is something that is also difficult, because he doesn't say love those you like. Love those that agree with you. Love those that don't ask you questions. Love those that aren't like you. It said, love those. Have a life that is marked by love. We don't all like the same things, do we? No, we're all different. We're all like snowflakes. Each one of us has our own person. We're all different, no matter who we are. But that's okay, because unlike snowflakes, we're all in Christ. This is my sister. This is my brother. This is my brother. They're my sister, my brother, my sister. We're a family. We're a family. And so, one of the greatest marks, not only of someone that's saved, because someone that's truly born again and saved is going to love their brothers and sisters. I mean, that's just a God thing. That's just a God thing. But he says, more deeply from the heart. I think love is something you learn how to do, too. I think love is something that you learn how to do better. You learn how to do better. I know I've told you that I pray this prayer sometimes. Lord, let me see everybody as a soul. Now, some of those souls don't dress like I do. Some of those souls got tattoos. Some of those souls got rings in their nose. Some of those souls got rings all over their ears. Some of those souls are totally different in culture than I am. And so what I need to do is to learn how to love people that aren't like me. And I think you have to make an effort to do that. You have to make an effort to do that. I know I do. And so I would think everybody does. But he says, love more deeply from the heart. So have a life that is marked by love. Oh, this number 6 is difficult. Look at chapter 1, verse 6. Chapter 1, verse 6. He says, in this you greatly rejoice. Well, that starts out pretty good, doesn't it? So now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief. Well, I don't much like that. In all kinds of trials. I really don't pray, oh God, please send me trials. I never pray that prayer, do you? No. But he says, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. Not only may your faith be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Well, so this is my sixth one. And I had a hard time writing this down. Appreciate adversity. Yeah. It does make a better, she said it makes a better person of her. I said, yeah, it makes a better person of all of us, but that don't mean we like it. But even if I don't like what I'm going to, I can appreciate what it's going to produce. You get it? I can appreciate what it's going to produce. So I can appreciate adversity. I don't pray for adversity. I don't pray, oh God, I want to be sick. Oh Lord, I'd like to spend some time in the hospital. Oh Lord, I pray my wife really hates me when I get home. You know, Lord, I really pray my tires are flat when I go out to the car. None of us pray that. We'd be silly if we did. But we can still, even in adversity, rejoice because of the results it will produce. The results it will produce. You say, well, what are those results? Well, he just told us here. He says, it shows that our faith is genuine. It shows that our faith is genuine. And it results in glory and praise to God. It results in glory. Why? Because you're more like Christ. You're more like Christ than you were before. So I that's something else. I have to, this is hard to do, isn't it, Bill? Appreciate adversity? It's true. It's truth. So that's something else I have to remind myself of and I have to work at in my own life. Because we will always face adversity. Every day, yeah, that's true. That's the world we live in. Number seven. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. Keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. May be ashamed of their slander. Now let's go down to verse 21. And this water symbolized baptism that now saves you, also not the removal of dirt from the body by the pledge of a good conscience toward God. All right. You say, well, before I was saved, I had a conscience, but now I've got the Spirit. Well, yeah, you do. And that's what it's talking about. Because the Spirit works through your conscience, works through your mind, works through your conscience to lead you, to guide you as a Christian. And so when it says have a good conscience toward God, it means that same thing. It means that I am behaviorally obeying the Lord, so I have my right relationship with God. I have a good conscience toward God. It means that I can feel good about my relationship with God. And the Spirit guides me in my daily life. Don't your mind speak to you? Spirit. In your mind, yeah, the minute you do something wrong, it's on you like a jaybird on a jute bug. And you know it instantly. You know it instantly. And that's what it's talking about. That's what it's talking about. So listen to your conscience. This is number 7. Listen to your conscience led by the Spirit. Listen to your conscience led by the Spirit. That's number 7. And this is number 8, and the bell's done rung, so I got to throw it out. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, look at this, what is he? A living stone. What are you? You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So what is the main purpose of my life? When it says you are a precious living stone, it means you are a part, you are being built as a living precious stone into the kingdom or the house of God. A living, precious stone. We're not only talking about something that helps build, we're talking about something that's beautiful. When you think about a precious stone, what do you think about? Something very beautiful. Something that has worth. Something that is being built into the house of God, the family of God, the kingdom of God. And so that's my last point. Acknowledge the main purpose for your life. The main purpose for my life is that I'm being built into the kingdom and the house of God as a precious living stone. The purpose of my life is to live for Him. It's to live for Him. Everybody has to have purpose. Everybody has to have a purpose. Well, our purpose is being built into the house of God, and in His sight, you are precious. You are beautiful. That's good to know. Amen? So those are 8 things. Now, next Sunday morning, I'll start through 1 Peter verse by verse, and break down each thing separately. Anybody got a question about anything that we've studied about so far? This is a really good book, by the way. It has so much really meat in it that can help us all. And I pray that it helps me as much as anybody. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come into your house on the Lord's Day. Thank you for your word, which is precious to us. In it, it is able to make one wise unto salvation. In it, we find comfort and hope and grace and mercy because you are in it. Christ is the center of all the word of God. And Christ is the center of our hope, our life, and our future. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for so great a salvation. We ask your blessing on Brother Nate as he preaches in the next service. We pray that the Spirit of God might anoint him. We pray, Lord, that if there's someone here that's lost in the service today, that God might open up their eyes to their lost condition, call them out of darkness into light, that they might accept Him as Savior and Lord, and their life might totally be changed. Father, we thank you again for the life you've given us in Jesus Christ. Now help us each day to live out that purpose in our life as a child of the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.